welcome back. This is the first bonus episode of the year. I got to sit down with the guys from Man vs. Rock. This is Brian from the Infos Podcast, but you know that already. You downloaded the show. Anywho, so I sat down with the guys from Man vs. Rock. They are an indie comic book. They're a couple of really, really funny guys. They were cracking me up the entire time we were talking. Man vs. Rock, it sounds exactly what it is. The Rocks have uprisen, and they're trying to take over the world. I'll let them explain everything that they do. But I got to say, talking to Kevin and Victor was a really good time. They're a couple of, you know, old improv guys. Not old, but, you know, they're improv guys. Anyway, and they, yeah, I mean, they're killing it with what they're doing. And it was a lot of fun talking to them. So enjoy the interview. All right, you guys, Brian from the Infamous Podcast. I'm here with the team of Man vs. Rock. Go ahead and introduce yourself, guys.
My name is Victor, and I'm a human, so I've been told by my handlers.
Okay. My name is Kevin Bieber. That's really a pseudonym. My real name is Kevin Timberlake.
So, first off,
thank you for having us on.
Yeah, I was going to say, thanks for taking the time to talk with us. We've been going back and forth since probably the beginning of December, haven't we?
Yeah, it took a lot of, you know, effort to really get on this. We were, you know, we had to nag you a little bit in order to, you know, get you to, you yeah. know, no, I, respond to our advances, but we appreciate it.
I liked how
it was a long. Yeah, it was a long courting.
Yeah, I did, Kevin, enjoy how you made fun of my voice constantly, and, you know, the making fun of our logo. That was great. I mean, that made me want to get you guys on more than anything. But okay, so real quick, just tell the people what Man vs. Rock is.
Well, Man vs. Rock is really the story of us all. Crazy, absurd comedy about this ridiculous geologist named Buck Stone, who thinks that rocks are going to kill us all. Why, Victor?
Because since the dawn of humanity, rocks have been used and abused for our own selfish ends. We enslaved them to build the pyramids. We crucified them instead of Jesus. And we even, you know, shat and spat upon them in key situations.
Good job. So basically, it's if you've ever seen like a really poignant movie like mm-hmm. Forrest Gump or Schindler's List, it's basically the same thing as that. And, you know, we weren't obviously nominated yeah. for an Oscar because we're white, but still, we think it's got a good shot
yeah,
at the awards next year.
So what did rocks ever do to you guys? Like, you hate rocks. I mean, like, reading through all
150
pages.
When I was a young lad.
Can you show me on the rock yeah, where the okay. rock touched you?
It's funny you should ask, because I laugh, but it all started when I went to summer camp as a child. And I was in a, you know, I was doing arts and crafts one day, and the door shut behind me, and I was alone in the room. And I thought I was alone until I saw that rock.
Yeah, and really, it was a traumatic experience for us both, even though I was not in the room. And, you know, I had then...
Because I made sure the next summer to bring him to summer camp so he would meet that rock.
Well, because of his trauma, I had to have psychiatrist lessons with a man named Jared Fogel. And so as a result of Victor's trauma, I had my own trauma to deal with. So we blame
the
rock
started
it
all. Yeah. That's hilarious, guys. So who does the writing and who does the artwork?
I pretty much do all the work. Really, Victor doesn't do anything.
I'm just the hype man. I come in every now and then. I'm like, fuck rocks. Wait, I'm sorry. Can I swear on this podcast? I don't know.
So Victor, you go around and you
ask after you just like drop a couple of bucks, you know?
Yeah. So you go around and
so basically like
go ahead.
Well, we're both the writers of Man vs. Rock. Our artist is named Jared Lamp. He's mm-hmm. very talented. He's over in Lubbock, Texas. And then we have a colorist as well, because we're coloring our volumes, named Summer Fitzgerald, who's also very talented. So we have to obviously give them our the props that they deserve. But yeah, we came up with this idea a long time ago as a way, because we said to ourselves, we want to be really rich one day. And so we think, how are we going to become really rich and make billions? And so then it dawned on us, it's an independent comic book. And so thinking, okay, we have this killer idea of how to get rich, make an independent comic book.
Yeah.
We need a hook though. And so we thought, what would be the best hook, the most unique hook we could think of? And then it came to us. It would be a white male protagonist. And as a result, Man vs. Rock was born and really just, you know, hit all cylinders and the podcasts of everywhere in Cincinnati.
Oh, great. That's awesome and hilarious.
So that's our story.
I mean, obviously you went into self-publishing to become millionaires. I mean, like, why else would you do it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who gives an F about the art?
Yeah, I mean,
it's not about the art. It's about the dollars, right?
No, of course not. I think that if DC has taught us anything right now, it's, you know, it's all about the money.
We went off on DC about the art yesterday on our latest one. It was
I heard.
And then they announced Rebirth last night, and I was like, God damn it, why didn't they do this like 12 hours earlier? So
No.
I appreciate
a little
2 hours,
but no, like, we really appreciate like reading this kind of stuff, and you know, like, obviously we'd be getting,
I mean, what we think about,
let's move to our better internet.
Okay, you guys just want audio only. Yeah, I hear you, no problem,
sorry about that. Yeah, it's, I think with the video like lagging a little bit.
I think we're in the better interconnection zone, internet web zone.
So, with DC, it's kind of funny. It's we actually think that comic books are like the ultimate tax shelter, because you know, how does DC, what DC's doing right now, like losing all that money, that has to be intentional. Like, there's got to be
and lose that much money.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of amazing, actually, when you think about it, about how like much they've fallen, and like basically all of their hopes now pin on one man, Ben Affleck. I was wondering how the hell did they get to that point.
So, what did you guys think? Like, okay, so I mean, you if you listened, you heard kind of our thoughts, and you know, we've been railing on Crap Man versus Crapper Man, Donna Crap, for weeks now. But what did you think of the Suicide Squad trailer, the Wonder Woman footage, and, or like, I'm going to call it Captain Wonder Woman, the First Avenger. And then, you know, the new Guardians of the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, everything's pretty derivative at this point with comics. But I mean, with the Suicide Squad trailer, I thought it was
I don't think there was enough full penetration, honestly.
Yeah, there wasn't enough real hardcore sexual activity. I thought that, you know, that new song that they were playing during the trailer, I just thought was not inspired at all. I don't know who could like that song. What was it? Bohemian something?
Yeah, by, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, and then with Wonder Woman, I'm just wondering, isn't it a bit sexist nowadays in the year 2016
to have
a movie just about a woman?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking to myself, like, I was talking to my male rights group about this the other day, and we all agreed. We're just like, when are men like me going to finally get some representation?
When is our voice going to be heard in Hollywood?
White men just do not have that voice at all.
Yeah. So. It's shameful.
It's disgusting.
Let me give you three names of directors. Okay. Spike Lee, M. Night Shyamalan,
and Tyler Perry.
And Tyler Perry. And what do they all have in common? They're horrible directors. But has nothing to do with the color of their skin. But they're amazing. Tyler Perry is pretty cool. But
he's our homeboy.
And Shyamalan actually is an inspiration to us, actually. He teaches us that if he can make it in Hollywood, literally anybody can make it in Hollywood. But yeah, no, we're obviously very concerned with whether men are getting enough opportunities in Hollywood for directing, and that is going to be our newest cause after Man versus Rock.
I like it.
you just lost all your viewers.
No, I'm loving this. do you guys do like comedy? Do you do stand up or anything like that? Or, you know, because you're very satirical. You're very, you know,
witty.
Yeah, we used to have an improv group in Hollywood back when I was living up there with Kevin. So that was fun. We did some shows, but you know, we were forcibly removed by the stage by our parole officer. So
no, it's kind of amazing with the improv scene is just so saturated that like literally everybody's in an improv group. Like, you know, like I'll talk to like my boss and my mailman and like, you know, the bank teller, and they all have their like improv group. Yeah. And so basically what happens is that as a result, like it's hard to get people to go to freaking improv. Like we have like basically like the only people who would show up to your improv are like, you know, your friends that are doing you a favor.
Yeah.
And then like afterwards are no longer going to be your friends, because who the fuck wants to be friends with somebody? They have to go to like some improv.
Anyone that's in an improv group, I don't want to be friends with them, including myself.
But the cool thing about comics though, is that there's a lot of like, there's a lot of opportunity for that sort of different comedy. There's not so much in the way of like, there's not so many like popular comic books, and
it's a way to tell a story too. Because I mean, like when you're doing improv, it's almost like the newspaper form of comedy. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's out there, then you throw it away the next day, and it's just like sometimes it's nice to tell a story, something that will stick around for a little while, and you know.
And Victor's thought was that newspapers are the future, so we should be in improv. But you know, I mean, it just didn't work out for us.
Newspapers are the future. Then, you know, the rocks have to take over first to save the trees. Then they can make the paper again. So, you know,
He just spoiled every. He just spoiled the end of Man versus Rock. but yeah, I mean, I guess to finish my point though is that. So having a comic book is actually kind of, it's easier in some ways because you can sell your book a lot better. Like we go to a lot of conventions. We go to San Diego, WonderCon, we're going to Chicago in a month. And, you know, all we need to really do to sell our book is like make people laugh, because then they assume that our book is funny. So
fools.
Yeah. Then they open it and see about 150 pages of dicks, and then you know we've gotten our you know signed it, no refunds, and everything's good.
All sales.
So yeah, it's a really interesting way of going about it, and it's actually Victor's idea to do the comic book as opposed to like you know doing just the improv stuff. But it's worked out really well for us. We were named Indie Book of the Year by a couple places last year, and we're. We got into San Diego Comic Con our first shot, and we're doing okay. Don't pray for us. We're doing all right.
Don't cry.
Yeah. No, I mean I definitely enjoyed it, and you know I've enjoyed like kind of following you guys around on you know doing the cyber stalking thing, you know Google mapping your houses, and you know Amazon deliveries of rare rocks. That was me. You know, but no, like in all seriousness, it's a different book. Like you said, there's not a lot of comedy. Like I think like the satirical nature and like kind of the absurdist nature, like the closest mainstream book you can look at it, like in the same vein would be Invincible from Kirkman and Image Comics. But, you know, you're kind of almost creating a category.
Thank you.
DM Street.
Well, like, that's great. Now our next step is to sell out completely. The next issue is going to be all about how like our main character likes chimichangas. And you know.
Yeah, it's. I mean, that's the thing with comic books. Like, they're a lot of fun. They're so creative, and these universes are you know invented. But yeah, there's not a ton of.
I mean, Mad Magazine is not a thing that anymore, goes on. You know, and like. Like right. I could have seen this fitting in. Like I'm just looking at you guys. I'm guessing I'm a good decade older than you, but you know, at least two.
At least two.
But so you're eight. No kidding.
We're negative. We're negative eight. We're for astral projections from a woman's womb.
But you can see like what I'm talking about. How like you know you don't have that outlet anymore, so you have to go and build it on your own. So
we just like we obviously like have like you know Man versus Rock doesn't pay all our bills, so we have like day jobs, but it's really this is the most fun thing we've ever done, and it's a really easy way to express yourself because you don't really have any limitations on what you can do with a comic book.
That's the great thing about it. You don't have to it's such a small community that ever reads the crazy indie comics. You can basically do whatever the F you want.
Well, but, you know, like if you're like doing a film, for example, like, you know, you can't, like, you can just put in our script, Michael Bay explosion, and make it happen by drawing it. You don't have to pay millions and millions of dollars to make it happen.
Extras, you know? Yeah, no, I get it. So, like, have you guys thought about putting any, like, kind of mainstream, like, ripoffs of characters, like, you know, into the book to, like, kill or maim or, you know?
We have, like, we try to keep it a little bit original, like, but we don't mind political satire. We don't mind satire of, like, pop culture or things like that. So we do have... And then the next issue, which is in production and should be out by about WonderCon or so in March, we do have like some famous people coming on and taking their licks.
Yeah, we have we also have some other comics too that we're doing right now. They're same as Man vs. Rock comedy, and those are a little more like grounded in some.
You know, yeah, we have a book coming out, which we will give you the first the first interview of our new book called.
Okay.
It's called Unpresidential. It's about – basically it's a take on the political elections now, but instead of – you know, the main character of our book is a man named Kim Jong-un who runs for president of the United States. And like you see this like how like he's able to, you know, get traction with today's voters by, you know, going about it. So basically you have like all the mainstream candidates like, what the hell do we do? Like Kim Jong-un is like beating us now.
Yeah. And like, it's not really political in the sense that it doesn't really take a certain side or whatever. It just makes fun of everything. And it's just
nonsense it is.
Yeah. So it's not preachy or anything.
Yeah.
Like that.
I mean, the thing with Man versus Rock that we try to do is we don't really have an agenda for any of this stuff except for a rock hating agenda. But that's the most important thing. It's more really a public service message to everyone to hate rocks. But, you know, we don't really have an agenda. You know, if we make fun of a Republican, we're going to make fun of a Democrat, too. We're going to make fun. It doesn't really we don't want to alienate our audience or anything like that. And plus, we have no political beliefs. Sure. We just believe in selling out. So why would we do why would we take a stand?
I'm looking forward to seeing like the rock concentration camps where you're turning them into concrete. Like, you know, that's what rock quarries are for. I could see that being like a big like story arc in a book in the future. So like I said, I enjoyed the book a lot. I've enjoyed the other stuff you guys have written online. You know, the stuff you're doing about like The Force Awakens when it came out. I forget there was another big one that you guys actually like included us on the tweet about. And what was it?
Hunger Games.
We did the Hunger Games. We did Bond.
It was the James Bond one. That was hilarious because I hated Spectre. Like to the point when like I don't know if Batista died in the movie or not, but there's that point where like I guess he died. Like that's where I turned it off because like I don't care anymore. Like I just wanted to watch.
Wouldn't it have been better if the new James Bond was George W. Bush? It just makes so much more sense to me.
So
like I don't know. It was like just like we try to make these articles with as different a take as possible. Like with Hunger Games, it was all about how like, you know, Katniss is really no better than Robert E. Lee during the Civil War and that sort of thing. Like, thank you for reading, man. It means
a lot.
I love
when that pops up in the feed and I'm always like, you know, immediately go check it out. So,
well, we have a new take on the Oscars coming
let us
up,
know so
stay tuned.
And help get the word out.
thank you.
Yeah, so you have another book coming out. You have WonderCon, you have Chicago.
Yeah, C2E2 in March. We have Long Beach Comic Expo in February. We've got a lot going on. We got Phoenix in June and Las Vegas and San Diego. Hopefully New York. If you're listening, New York
Comic-Con,
we'd love to be
there. So hey, we actually have a good show here. We had like 20,000 people at it. Yeah.
Oh, I know of your show. Yeah, it's like this like thing though, because we're Southern California, so like the only times we would branch out would be like to Ape in San Francisco, which is literally like, you know, like four people like ride their horses to fucking like some like outdoor pasture, and then you're just like talk to them, and then Ape was like brutal, but it was
it used to be better when it was in
the
San Fran.
First time we went to Ape was literally like one of the most fun weekends of our lives. Like, you want to tell the story, go for it.
I mean, there's nothing to tell other than we ended up in prison, but no, it was it's in San Francisco, or it was originally, and then, well, I don't know, originally it was whatever. With these cons, it's all like these weird politics. Like, these guys are like, 30 years ago this was in San Jose, so now it's, you know, the true like ape followers want it all to be in San Jose, so whatever.
So stay tuned for San Diego Comic-Con in Cincinnati.
But anyway, yeah, it was in San Fran. It was just a lot of people would go. It was a lot of fun. And they have this place called the Last Gasp. No. You ever heard of that? It's like this, basically this comic book warehouse where it has like all these weird indie comics, you know, from Crumb and like all the stuff from the 80s. They had their heyday in like the 80s and 70s. But their big thing now is they have like these international like porn comics, like this really weird fetish stuff, like stuff that you just like, it's so demented. It's almost like needs to be in lockdown, like solitary confinement. And
we literally thought when we were going to the mixer that it was a big bust for the feds and that we were eventually going to end up in federal prison for like 12 years. But like, also we were like really worried because as we go to more rooms, we're just wondering like, when the fuck are we going to hit the dungeon?
More and more depraved as we went through.
When is that going to happen?
Yeah. So so there's this, so anyway, this comic book warehouse called the Last Gasp, and it was a mixer there for all the comic book creators, and you go there and like Kevin said, it's like the ultimate mother's basement. And there's this gallery in the back where this guy comes out and he's like, come to my gallery. And there's like a bunch of like, you know, angels like raping people and like crazy stuff.
That's literally like the images that they have up there.
Were you, like, wow, you guys like, thinking like an mainstream publishers like, were bringing you there and to make like some snuff films and be like, this is what happens when you try and create something on your own.
Right. Oh my god, yeah, it was like, and the funny thing is they would look at us like we were the weird people. So we're like, we have a book called Man vs. Rock. They're like, what? Like, what's wrong with you? And then meanwhile they'd like be carrying around their pictures of like Minotaur rape or something like that, and we're like, okay,
there's something
we're
the weird ones.
But there is, and that was, we learned that was for us too.
Yeah, I have a whole stack of them at home.
You came home with thousands of dollars worth, so nice. Did you bag and board that stuff? I'm just curious.
I don't know, it's a yeah, so that was our first con, but we had a great time. But like, I guess they moved it to San Jose, and there are a lot less people there. So I like the fact that we're totally alienating.
Well, WonderCon is in LA now, right? Because that was in WonderCon's
was
in LA? Because that was in San Francisco for a long time.
That was in San Francisco. Yeah. Then it moved to Anaheim, and now it's going to LA. But we love WonderCon. WonderCon is like, WonderCon is up there on our list of cons that we've met. So many cool people there. So many good fans. So yeah, we're excited to go back there, and we hope to have Volume 5 ready to go at that time. And we've got a lot going on this year. We've got Volume 5 and 6 should be ready pretty soon. They're in production. We've got our new book, Unpresidential. We have another new book in process right now.
Yeah.
And we have a video game. Literally being created about Man versus Rock.
Is it like an iPhone app or
you like?
It's like a little RPG type game. So it's like, you know, just imagine The Legend of Zelda, but with like Buck Stone going around basically killing people and, you know, masturbating in public and stuff like that.
When is Buck Stone going to turn on the human race and take up the cause for the rocks? Is that like Volume 12?
Yeah,
is that
very like way tempting down the line?
So.
Volume 47. Yeah,
we're gonna milk this thing as long as we can.
Replaced by the rocks as a rock, and yeah.
So. Yeah.
We'll get as meta as possible.
Yeah, we're gonna get like, you know, we're gonna do a mid year replacement for Buck Stone with some like lesser known actor character,
right?
Like,
yeah,
you know,
because of the contract negotiations.
Steve Pebble comes in to take his place while the contract negotiations are going.
Right. Steve Pebble. It's like everything goes downhill.
It's a great idea. We should actually incorporate Steve Pebble.
Yeah, we gotta get this guy to sign an NDA.
Seriously, take it.
Steve Pebbles is like bastard, like brother, who's like this wiry nerd that just
he always
screws things up for Buck Stone.
Yeah, he's like the worst sidekick ever. He's he's Lydia from Skyrim. He's always in the way.
Skyrim.
Doesn't listen.
I came over to Kevin's once and I was like, when Skyrim first came out, he was like, meet my wife, Lydia.
Yeah. So how dare you talk about my wife way, Brian?
Sorry, Kevin. I thought it was over. I had read about the very public breakup between you and Lydia, but I didn't realize it was back on.
It was a 3-month marriage, but
at the time you were spending more time with Lydia than your actual girlfriend.
My fiance,
You're now fiance.
So you got a bunch of cons, you got some new books, you've got a game coming out. I mean, that's a lot on your plate. What else is next?
Really is next is that we consider ourselves to be direct competitors of Marvel and DC. And we won't rest until we bring DC and Marvel out of business. We're going to keep pushing out Man versus Rock until they go under because, you know, if they're afraid of the sharks, they should have stayed out of the ocean. And Man versus Rock is the shark that's going to take them down.
Can we quote you on that? Yeah, we just want to keep I think that, that's like...
Yeah, you can absolutely quote us on that.
As a matter of fact, if you don't, we'll hold you to it.
Yeah. So you want me to cut that
We've got a lot... No, you can keep that one in. The one thing I want to keep in is that we're going to bring Marvel and DC out of business with our
independent comic book. That's all I'm going to post.
Yeah, we won't rest.
The rest of this stuff is it's garbage. Nobody cares. Yeah.
Everything else doesn't really even matter. But yeah, we've got a few things that on you know, other than those things, we just want to keep spreading the Man versus Rock like syphilis to as many unsuspecting people as possible. We're increasing the amount of cons we're going to. We've got these new books in production, the video game, and our main goal next year is, as I like to call it, going national. We're gonna try to distribute our books.
I was gonna ask if you guys were in previews yet or what.
No, that's gonna be our plan for 2017.
Part of that is trying to Kickstarter eventually. We've been slow to take up the Kickstarter things. We want to, I don't know, we want to make sure we can get our fans some cool stuff before we even did that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with like doing it, something like an independent comic book where, you know, it starts out so small. It literally just starts out with like, you know, a few sketches and a script. And then you go from there to doing the conventions, to doing more stuff, to printing more volumes, to, you know, merchandise, to all that stuff. And, you know, become something much bigger. And but you have to be able to, you have to crawl before you can walk, and you have to walk before you can run. And so we're just trying to make sure that we're not, you know, we don't want to go to diamond and then, you know, before we're ready for it, you know. So, you know, then we'll, then the next time you talk to us, we'll declare bankruptcy.
I mean, like, if you guys like so, you know, Kickstarter, you look at I don't know if you ever followed or read the Sullivan Slugger book. They did a Kickstarter,
I know what you're
and
talking about.
Like I just got a note on Kickstarter because I backed it, and it's 2 years later, and they just fulfilled all their orders. So,
yeah, I mean, because that's the thing too. It's like you Kickstarter sounds really easy when you just when you first hear about it. It sounds like, oh yeah, anybody could do it, but no, it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of commitment, and we don't. You know, like our fans and the people that are willing to actually like give us money to write our book, to do what we love, like they're very precious to us, and we don't want to like do anything to fuck them over, or we don't want anybody. We want to have it organized such that like when we do something, whenever the Kickstarter is over, we can, you know, we can get them what they've paid for immediately.
Plus, we like doing the fun stuff, which is making a ton of comic books. So we just try to churn that shit out as much.
I like our explanation because when we flee to Mexico,
you're going to live in that town that Patrick Swayze was in for a little bit in Point Break. You know, kill Rosie again.
Do that. Like Sean Penn will do an interview with us one day.
It's another interesting question though, is you guys do the volumes, right? Like, so you're not doing like individual issues. Yeah. You're doing kind of longer stretches at a time. So this has been some talk we've had with other like indie people. It seems like more and more indie creators are going to the volume type of a thing where it's like quarterly or by, you know, every 6 months type of a thing. do you guys find that easier, or is it something where it's just because you have day jobs and because you have all these other things going on, it just is a better way to tell your story?
You hit the nail on the head at the very end. It's whatever's the best way to tell your story. Yeah. Like, I mean, our volumes tend to be, we have 4 volumes right now. Mm-hmm. And I think we sent you the trade, which has 150, but like pages, but like most of our volumes tend to be like double size. They tend to be 40 pages because we feel that that's the best way to tell our story. Like, you can look for ways to make it 22 pages and try to cut it off there. But we think that the story will resonate with a lot more readers if we tell it, you know, in the best possible way, whether it's 20 pages, 30 pages, 40 pages,
right,
or the entire Bible. You know, that's kind of how we view it. And, you know, that's it might cost a little bit more money printing wise, but it's all about telling your story, especially for an independent where, you know, you start from literally no fans.
You gotta find everything.
The best way to do that is by telling your story.
Like, in December, I picked up this indie book, and it was a professional basketball player who had like this Aztec warrior inside him that would come out and like murder people. And it was a cool story.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Nash.
It was a black guy, though. So, but like, you get to the end of the story, and you know, there's to be continued, basically. And like, I ran into the guy in the comic store, and he's like, "Oh, I don't know when the next one of these are coming out. I have another one that's coming out in like 2 months." I'm like, "Well, I'm done buying your books then, because you know, there's nothing worse than hearing, you know, a comic and then we're reading a comic and then, you know, you go look for the next issue and they're like, "Oh, I haven't even written that yet." It's like, well,
yeah.
Yeah, no, it's tough because it's like, you know, Marvel and DC, they can churn that crap out.
Writers, artists,
two,
whatever, like, they need to fit their schedule.
Yeah, exactly. They have this huge infrastructure and it's like, we're just two guys like doing all this stuff ourselves, and we have our artists and stuff too. And
it's like, very important.
Yeah, obviously. So, I mean, yeah, like, you know, it's, yeah, we can't compete with that sort of time frame. But the way we see it is like, we come out with a long story. It's like, personally, I love reading trades. I'm not a big singles guy. I just love like sitting down, almost reading it like it's a book.
Completing the story.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, exactly. So, I mean, I think like, yeah, it's like when you can get the longer story, I think it's a little easier to hook people in, because where we have sort of like feasible, you know, limitations against us, you know, we can't do weekly issues and stuff
now,
like that.
Now, do you guys release anything like as far as like web comics? I couldn't find. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we do have.
Thank
you for the free plug.
I was on site and I didn't remember seeing that. That's why I asked.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we have our website under the tab. It used to be under the tab Buckstone Presents. Now it's under the tab.
Oh, look, it says web comics right there.
Yeah, so, like, we found out that a lot of people were having the same sort of issues you were, where it wasn't obvious where the webcomic was. So we do have a bunch of webcomics out. They're pretty long. They're each, like, you know, 6 or 7 pages. We tackle the important issues, like, you know, NFL concussions, Abraham Lincoln, you know,
and his zombie penis.
Yeah,
we had and we take credit for, we called the Jared thing before it happened.
We posted that thing so much longer. We have a video on YouTube.
Yeah,
we were talking about the improv days. We have a video on YouTube from 2011 about like how like
we knew Jared
was the most evil man in the world. And then like the Jared Fogel thing comes out, we're like, fuck, man. Like, obviously, it sucks because of, you know, his crimes, but we consider ourselves to be sort of ancillary percipient victims of that, because now...
Well, we had a webcomic we had been working on about Jared making fun of him as, like, this evil guy.
Right.
Because no one would expect it.
And literally, like, we're putting the finishing touches on it, and then the news story breaks, and we're like, oh, holy shit. Like, we could have published this 3 days earlier.
Yeah, obviously our first thoughts were with the victims, but then after that, we were thinking, like, you know, as good people do. Yeah, so, I mean, that's... the webcomic we think is really good. If you like Man versus Rock, if you like satire that doesn't have the whole, you know, any hold any punches, just really goes for it, then I think you'll like our webcomic. Tackles a lot of different issues, like, you know, ponies, like the NFL, like, you know.
It's crazy. Yeah, the whole premise is it's Buckstone telling bedtime stories to children, I guess. Or, well, he's in a classroom, like, telling children stories or whatever. And they're like, what happened to Abraham Lincoln? And, like, he explains to them, like, his demented story, or, like, he'll tell about Aladdin and the magic lamp, but it would just be this really, you know, right.
Yeah,
the magic thingy.
So, yeah, we go for it. We try, like, we want to have as much content out there as possible. You know, everything is about, like, building up so that, you know, when we do distribute our book next year to retailers and people find out about us, there's, like, stuff that they can look at. You know, they can go to our website. They can see a bunch of, you know, articles like you were talking about, reviews, the web comic, you know, a couple of drawings of Victor's dong. So you can see a lot of,
more,
you know,
than a couple.
Really educational things there. And it's all really about providing the reader as much content as possible so that hopefully they'll come back and think we're funny and, you know, continue to inflate our oversized ego.
All right. So where can people find you guys online? Like, obviously manversusrock.com, but is there other outlets?
You have another website. It's called www.whitehouse.gov/manversusrock.
/ big,
you know, I think actually that's a government site again. I think they actually got that. So.
Yeah. So we have a few ways. Obviously our website, manversusrock.com, you can get the webcomic, you can order our book online or, you know, see reviews or whatnot. We have Facebook because, you know, MySpace got too expensive. So we, Man vs. Rock is our name on Facebook, Twitter at Man vs. Rock, and Instagram at Man vs. Rock. So, you know, MANVS and then ROCK. So for our
this is definitely all ages stuff. You know, I know I have no problem sharing it with my age.
Usually we only sell to children 8 and under, but we make exceptions.
Well, I was glad you made an exception and shared the book with me because I really did enjoy it.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for reading it, man.
You know, it's just the whole, like, just absurd idea of people hating rocks. And, you know, it's I literally sat there and laughed the whole time. And I, Johnny couldn't be here today, my co-host. He has a job. He works in like kind of a retail type thing, and he's off almost every Saturday. And when we scheduled this, he's like, I should be fine. I won't be off. And then on Friday, he's like, I have to work on Saturday. And I'm like, it figures. So,
yeah. Johnny's a goddamn
liar. I'm
going
to drive over to his house and he's going to be eating Cheetos watching Game of Thrones. So, yeah. he's awesome. And he enjoyed the book as well.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So when you guys have new stuff, just let me know and we'll bring you back on, because this has been a lot of fun.
Well, thank you.
You guys crack me up. You're hilarious. We're all very irreverent, and it's, you know, we have to try and, like, keep our crazy down to minimum. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you guys listen. We had an interview with Brandon Montclair from Marvel. He writes, co-writes the Moon Girl versus Devil Dinosaur book.
I think I might have missed that one. I definitely do listen to y'all's
stuff.
Like,
near the end, it was, when was that? The middle of December, but, like, right near the end, he started bashing DC.
Oh, goddamn Christmas.
So, he starts bashing DC Comics. It's like, I'm sitting here, I'm like, this is gold. Like, you know, we have a Marvel writer. And he was the editor of All-Star Superman and All-Star Batman. And, you know, like, he was, like, obviously you can't bash All-Star Superman.
Yeah, he's a good name. But,
you know. I like his work. Funny. It was like, wow, like, this is great.
Yeah. Well, it's all fun and games until rappers end up dead.
Like, you can't have, like, an East Coast, West Coast thing anymore, really, because they're all in L.A. now.
Everyone's in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I was hoping DC moved to Burbank, Marvel would be like, New York's our city and stake their claim and move everything out there. And then we could have the East Coast, West Coast comics battle where, you know, like,
Tom Brevoort.
Kevin Feige and Jeff Johns are, you know, both found dead within a week of each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Stan Lee killed them both.
That'd
be a good their hearts for out. You guys to do too. Yeah. You know, so
would be a good. We did actually an article about you know, like, Brian Bendis.
Wait, no, Brian. I'm not
about
familiar,
like, how. I mean, obviously you know who he is, but, like,
is he an author?
We did an article about Iceman coming out of the closet.
And it was tastefully done.
We thought it was just, you know, it was an article about It was a 10,000 word article about how little I care that Iceman is gay. And so we did a web comic sort of drawing of Brian Bendis mocking the whole like Iceman coming out of the closet. So like it'd be Brian Bendis coming out to his former self that he's bald. And we sent that to Brian Bendis and he saw it, but he never responded. So
you have to have a sense of humor.
We do like
so,
his work.
And if
you gotta have a sense of humor,
all right,
you know.
So Man versus Rock, manvsrock.com. Same thing on Twitter and Instagram.
Thank you.
Kevin and Victor are hilarious. You guys have to check out all their stuff. Buy the book, buy it. Like they're not just gonna send it to you. Unless you start a podcast, then they'll probably send it to you. So
then we do it. Yeah. Just say
I'm just gonna make a whole bunch we'll of like just fake Twitter podcast accounts and like just start like trying to get free stuff out of people.
We send that to you, a few bitcoins and a 10% coupon off of your next purchase at Applebee's.
Anyway, so hey guys, I really appreciate you guys taking time. It's Saturday to sit down with us, and I know your parole officer.
Well,
like I need to thank them for letting you guys have access to the internet for this hour. So that was great.
Well, thank you for having us, man. We love your podcast.
Yeah, thanks, man.
It means a lot to us and to for reading it and for liking our book. And if all of your listeners,
we'd all love of to our listeners, read our book go too, read their so. Book. And
I mean, you're the ones who inspired us to have a video game after you guys made that one for PlayStation.
So, I just felt like we needed to have that. So, and then we needed to make two more after that. So,
all absolutely. Right.
Well, hey guys, this is Man versus Rock.
Thanks
for coming.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Vote Lincoln Chafee.
All right, so there it is, Man versus Rock. I thought those guys were hilarious, and I had a really good time talking to them. Like they said, you can find, pretty much just go to manversusrock.com, and you'll find all their stuff. You can find how to contact them, and you should definitely check them out. And if you're at C2E2 or any of the conventions they mentioned, WonderCon, totally check them out. Again, we're the Infamous Podcast. So you've heard this before. 5-star reviews would be great on iTunes to help us move up in the rankings. We love doing this, and we hope you guys are enjoying this. If you have questions for us, we're at infamouspodcast.com, or you can email us at theinfamouspodcast@gmail.com. And we're on Facebook and Twitter at under Infamous Podcast. Again, for Johnny Podorf, I'm Brian Tudor, and this has been a special bonus episode of the Infamous Podcast. Have a great day.